Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It's Wednesday. It's already been a very lively show. If you missed any part of it, you can always download the Maggie and Perloff podcast or head to YouTube and you can subscribe to our YouTube page. And that's where you can find our interview with Jalen Hyatt, who just told us he thinks he's going to run basically a 4-2 something 40 if and when he declares for the draft. Wink, wink. he didn't tell us, but wink, wink. He was very excited to talk about his 40 time. We got a lot more to get to beyond that, Perloff.
Yeah.
Obviously, tough day for my Buffalo Bills. And I think I'm in denial here that Von Miller's season-ending knee injury is not going to completely submarine the Bills' chances of going to the Super Bowl.
No, come on. Von Miller is a 33-year-old pass rusher
who's having an excellent season with 8 sacks.
Yeah, I don't think he's the key. I think it's Josh Allen and the offense. Now, you probably would have said that last year and they didn't get through. And I know you need a closer, a pass rusher. But do you really feel all is lost is not the proper reaction to this? Because they're the number one seed right now. The offense, once again, I think it's sort of picked up after that little lull. Josh Allen gets rid of these turnovers, you're good. You're running the ball.
Well, I mean, I think that's maybe discounting a little bit of what is going to have to happen if they're going to win the Super Bowl. That's what happened so far.
So you're saying they have to get after Mahomes.
Yes.
They have to get after Joe Burrow.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, how about getting after, you know, Mike White's the assignment this week, then it's going to be two of the week after that. You know,
yeah.
The Bills don't have a big margin for error here because the rest of the AFC East has suddenly become very good. And I think, well, good. Yes. Good to very good. The Dolphins are good.
Yeah, what was that sound? Jets, Dolphins, and even the Patriots. Come on.
Define good.
Nobody's under 500.
I think that good is you could have three teams from the AFC. And actually, if this playoffs ended today, you would have three teams from the AFC East in the playoffs. I mean, that defines good.
Okay. You guys want to do a show bet? Me versus you, AFC Easters? I'll bet you it ends up being two teams in the playoffs.
I don't know. I mean, who do you think is going to fall out, Sampters, Jets?
Obviously the Jets.
What?
They're going to be 7-6. I'm going on the odds. They're going to be 7-6 after this weekend.
So?
Well, I mean,
the Chargers are going to blow it. The Raiders are nothing. The Patriots are going nowhere. Who's going to catch them?
Well, those three teams for one.
all three of them.
You know, you are right. I am a little worried about my Chargers.
Yes, now would be the appropriate time to worry about the Chargers.
But honestly,
wait, your Chargers now?
Yeah. When did you take over the Chargers?
I just feel like I think the average, if you don't have an AFC West team, aren't you a Chargers fan by default? We're all Chargers fans. We all see the talent. Who was not excited about the Chargers before the season?
I'm definitely not a Chargers fan.
Okay, but we were all like, this is pretty exciting. Justin Herbert. Did they sign Khalil Mack?
Yeah.
Is that guy, is he even,
they traded for him.
Is he even playing? I know.
Yes, he is.
J.C. Jackson. Remember those receivers they're supposed to have
those
who actually never,
have been
ever play?
Awesome for them.
Yeah.
Those moves have been great for the Chargers. J.C. Jackson, Khalil Mack, fantastic.
Well, listen, we were all wrong about the entire AFC West. Russell Wilson, we were wrong about that.
Okay, but I'm not so sure that we are going to end up being wrong because tomorrow night is a massive night for Stu's Raiders.
Yeah.
Because you're playing the Rams, who just got Baker Mayfield, like he landed like last night. Somehow there's maybe speculation that he's going to play in this game. There's no chance that can happen. They'd have to run five plays. How many plays can he learn in a day? That would be crazy.
Okay, you're saying, but you can't
then
say
Stu's Raiders could have won if they win tomorrow night. That's four in a row.
Yeah,
and their schedule is not that crazy.
So we weren't saying in July, oh man, if they just got Devontae Adams and Chandler Jones, maybe they'll improve to 6-7. I mean, come on, this is still a disappointing season.
Well,
and by the way,
it's not over yet, though, so you can't say it's disappointing. It has been disappointing, but let's see where they end up.
Okay, if they go 9-8, that is a disappointment. They're not covering their actually their win total was right around 9, wasn't it? But
yeah, it was.
I think it's a disappointment. From where they were. And by the way, Stu had his defense player of the week. Guess who it was in the AFC?
It was Chandler Jones.
Chandler Jones. And it was Nick Bosa in the NFC. So Maggie and I were both right about that. But Chandler Jones, you're right. Chandler Jones finally shows up. Khalil Mack. Remember that name?
Yes. I mean, watching him when he plays with the Chargers. So you got the Rams, then you host New England if you're the Raiders. You're at Pittsburgh, San Francisco now, no Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy era. And then Kansas City is obviously going to be a tough one. But if Kansas City's locked into the one seed or locked into the two seed, maybe it's Chad Henne, right? And not Patrick Mahomes. That changes things. There's a path here for the Raiders.
Oh, yeah. No.
So your prediction about the AFC East might not be that bad.
AFC West. I think there's going to be a lot of difference. I think the Jets are going to have some really tough matchups. Sandra, I know you know their schedule memorized, but I feel like it's going to be a lot harder. It's been a great start for the Jets. But like the Giants, I feel like the pumpkin is being smashed as we speak.
Well, the Jets' schedule coming up is obviously they're at Buffalo this week, then Detroit. Got a little nugget on Detroit in just a moment. Jacksonville after that, got a little something on them too in just a moment.
That's winnable.
Then you're at Seattle, and then you finish out the season at Miami. Again, maybe Miami is locked into something there.
That's a win. 5-0 right there.
Fair.
There you go.
Objective.
So, okay. Interesting about what's going to go on in the AFC. Now, two quick things that we wanted to get to. Again, there's been a lot of football news that's kind of been coming around here. One, we saw that Trevor Lawrence did kind of valiantly go back into the game against Detroit last week. The Jags got smoked. It didn't make a difference, but he looked fine. Now, according to Ian Rappaport and Doug Peterson, I guess, said he is day-to-day up in the air on whether or not he's going to play this week. So that's a little something.
Yeah. Although, I mean, they're not in the playoffs. We were wondering last week. You actually asked this question.
Why did he go back in?
Why did he go back in the game? What's going on here with Jacksonville? If he's day-to-day, why not just keep him out until he's 100%? Because all that matters in Jacksonville is the long-term.
Absolutely. I have no idea. He didn't practice today, and that's where all the speculation now is coming from. They're at Tennessee this week.
Could it have been a case, because it looked so bad when it happened. We thought, oh, man, he's done for the season, possibly. Adrenaline flowed into his body and made him okay, because he was running. He was scrambling at full strength in that game. So
mixed with something else, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Some sort of pain blocker.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would definitely err towards the side of caution if I'm the Jags, which helps your Jets, Mike. There you go.
Definitely. Okay. That's one of the other nuggets that we have. This is another thing that is going to start getting a lot of attention in the next couple days. So want to bring it to you now, which is the calls that we get about the disrespect for the Minnesota Vikings. I understand why those calls come to the media, right? Because we talk a lot about the Dallas Cowboys, Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles. We talk a lot about the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC, and we don't talk a lot about the Minnesota Vikings. Well, this is no longer a media story. This is not a media story about the Minnesota Vikings getting disrespected. This is now a Las Vegas story because the Minnesota Vikings are 2.5-point underdogs on the road to the Detroit Lions this week. Think about that. The 10-2 Minnesota Vikings facing the 5-7, I believe, Detroit Lions. And right now, the Lions are a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah.
That is not the media disrespecting the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on all season long, right? They were only 3-point favorites over the Jets in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And I know the game ended up being kind of close. Well, I mean, here's the thing with Minnesota. To their credit, they might go up by 3 touchdowns, or they might be down by 3 touchdowns.
It's going to be an exciting fourth quarter.
The game is going to come down to the last score.
You're right about that.
And there is so much momentum for the Detroit Lions. They're kind of America's team once again. I don't know. Remember Jamal?
Got a call yesterday making the case that Tom Brady should go there.
You know, we haven't talked a lot about how Jamal Williams was crying in Hard Knocks before the season, and we kind of laughed at it, but he's a superstar now, 14 touchdowns. I don't know anyone who doesn't love the Detroit Lions. Now, that is surprising. I was shocked when you read me that spread. I still don't feel that comfortable picking the Vikings for some reason. I feel like the Lions have a great chance in this game. The Vikings' pass defense is not good, and Jared Goff's playing really well.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So that's just a little bit from around the NFL. Obviously, the headline today in terms of football is the Von Miller injury, which I'm talking myself out of. Like, no, they're going to be fine. This is what it looks like when your girl just gets delusional. Nathan is in Los Angeles, wants to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, Nathan, how are you?
I am good. Good to talk to you guys again.
Great to talk with you. What's on your mind?
So I'll build this out. I'll try to go quickly. But I kind of liken Jimmy G's career. It's as if, to me, the football gods have like a yo-yo in their hand.
Okay.
And for those who don't know what a yo-yo is...
We all know what a yo-yo is.
Well, you know what it is, but youngins may not know what a yo-yo is. You'll get the understanding. The young people may not know what a yo-yo is.
How old do you think our audience is? Five?
I don't know. Anyway, let me get back to the story. So he goes to San Francisco. He does all his tricks. He gets to the Super Bowl. Oh, pull it back to the hand. He's not quite good enough. Fast forward, we get to this year. We've got a new quarterback. We're throwing Jimmy out to whatever team might want him. They never want him. They don't get him. He sits there. Oh, look at that. Trey Lance gets injured. We're back on the field. We're doing tricks again. We're back to,
No, I got it.
Caliber.
And then pull it back. Yep.
And then pull it back once again. But, oh, wait, he might not be done for the year. We're just hearing now.
Yeah.
And here's my end scenario. Somehow, with Brock Purdy, the Niners get to the NFC title game. Jimmy comes back, plays in the title game, gets them to the Super Bowl, but they lose the Super Bowl, and the Niners quit on him once again to go on to Trey Lance, and Jimmy gets tossed over to Tampa to replace Tom, which he was supposed to do 5 years ago before he ever went to San Francisco.
Yeah, interesting. Nathan, I appreciate the analogy. I think we all know what a yo-yo is. I think even young people know what they are, but I appreciate it nonetheless. So
I just picture some 15-year-old in a car out there saying, "Dad, what's a yo-yo?"
Is it yo-yos don't exist
well,
anymore?
Nobody plays with yo-yos
don't
anymore.
Don't mess
like
with my dad was a Bronx yo-yo champion growing up. So
yeah, of course.
Every one of my birthday parties, they were yo-yo around the world and eating spaghetti, walk the dog. Yeah, I got all the yo-yos.
So
all the yo-yo tricks. I forgot the word tricks.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. I don't want to get away from the 49ers and not skirting that at all, but what do you think about parents who have skills like that performing at their kids' birthday parties? Because to this be honest, Samter, did it become a little bit more about your dad than about you at the party?
Oh, 100%. Now, it was fine. It was cool, like, when you were, like, 5, 6, 7, and, like, you would throw the yo-yo up in the air and do all these cool tricks and shine your shoes. And, like, all the kids loved it. When I was, like, 14 and he's still doing it,
good
my friends
grief.
Were like, what the hell is your dad doing? It's like, why is your dad playing with your yo-yo? Like, let's go play video games right now.
Your dad was doing yo-yo tricks at your birthday party when you were 14. How do you have any friends?
Who said I had friends?
Oh, my goodness. It's just, I don't know.
There's so much wrong. My dad had all the yo-yos. So. Yo-yo trash talk. That is, now, kids might not know what yo-yos are. Nobody is yo-yo trash talking like the Maggie and Perloff show.
No, apparently we've got that market cornered.
Did people know hula hoops? Probably, right?
Definitely. Guys, it's not... Young people today still are in this world.
Do kids in gym class play with hula hoops? Like, I don't know what gym class is now.
Actually, my kid's school has hula hoops, right?
I'm sure they
do. But they don't use it as a hula hoop, right? They probably use it as, like, they jump through it or, I don't know, they don't, like,
probably
actually put it around their waist.
Maggie, you always underestimate how little young athletes know about the older athletes.
Guys, that's okay. That's us making fun of the intern because he didn't know what the Miracle at the Meadowlands was. This isn't know what a hula hoop
they
is.
They don't know Michael Jordan played basketball. They know him as a fashion designer. I'm telling you, it's
he's
ubiquitous.
Not a fashion designer.
Well, I'm just saying.
The Jordan brand, you mean?
Yeah, I think it is incredible what young people don't know is always shocking to me. Remember that intern we had who was pretty knowledgeable on sports? It wasn't just the miracle of the Meadowlands. He didn't know things from 2012. He didn't know.
Well, he's got the internet now. Why does he need to know it?
Because he was 4 years old when Usain Bolt won the first gold medal.
It probably was. Who was it? Was it Brock Purdy who said that Tom Brady's been playing football longer than he's been alive?
Yes.
And it's true.
Oh,
I think he was born 4 days before Tom Brady's first start at Michigan or something. It's insane.
No. I think it was the pros.
First started the Patriots, right? Yeah. It's right around the same time. Yeah, it's weird. That's weird.
Ooh, that just made everybody get real quiet on the show. But they know what a hula hoop is. Kids know what a hula hoop and a yo-yo is.
Yeah, and they're vegans.
No, they're not.
Only in Tennessee.
They're not vegans. That's why you owe me $5. Okay, we've got a lot to do today. Coming up next, it is Heisman season, so why not talk to a Heisman Trophy winner? Danny Werfel won the Heisman in 96. Get his thoughts on who he thinks deserves the award this year. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff, so much to do today. Glad you're along for the ride with us. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We're back with Danny Werfel in just a moment.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. And this is a big week, Perloff. This is a big week for the Heisman. It's a big week for college football. It's a big week for everybody. And with that in mind, we're so pleased to be joined by Danny Werfel. Of course, he won the Heisman in 1996. They won a national championship at Florida and now has a trophy named after him that's all about community service in college football. Danny, thanks so much for the time today.
Hey, Maggie, Andrew, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
So I imagine this time of year has to bring up a lot of great memories. When you think back to 96, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
You know, the end of that year was so remarkable. We were ranked number one and we lost the regular season last game to Florida State. So it kind of felt like we were out of it. Then we beat Alabama, we get this rematch, and then the award stuff happens and I'm getting my name called. It seems surreal. Didn't even seem actually like it was like a dream at the time. And then this whirlwind, I graduated from college. Like so many things happened. It's taken me many years to kind of unwind and really experience the emotions of all it. It was an unbelievable time.
And Danny, you get extra credit because back in the 90s, other positions other than quarterback won the award. What do you think of people who say it's become a quarterback award and other positions don't get the fair shot?
Yeah, I mean, that is sort of true. I think the way offenses have evolved, the quarterbacks are not just now throwing the ball, they're running the ball. They're really the instrumental part of their team in so many ways. You know, we had a string of running backs from Alabama for a while. You know, this could have been a unique year where, you know, just a dominant, even non-offensive player, you know, could have gotten thrown in the mix. It would have been fun to see. But the voters have stuck with these guys who have shined on their team. And then to their credit, we got four really neat young men with great stories coming to New York.
Who do you think is the deserving Heisman Trophy winner this year?
Man, that's tough. I think you could really build a case for all of them. I don't think any one of them is head and shoulders above the rest. They've all had great things. I do think from what I've seen and heard, not necessarily sharing my vote because we're not supposed to, but I do think Caleb from USC is probably the front runner at this point, if there is one, but I think the other folks are very deserving and I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a very exciting night, Saturday night, to see who actually wins.
Danny, when you watch USC quarterback Caleb Williams, I'm assuming you see a lot of yourself when he escapes from the pressure and spins around and throws the ball 60 yards against his body. You could do all that, right?
That's really what comes to mind. Yeah, that, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't get a lot of credit for my running ability because I never did it or could. But no, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete, doing great things, and in a great system for him, and just a lot of success, and played through adversity, had some toughness, played with injury. So a lot of things that I think are really commendable.
Danny Werfel is our guest. Of course, he's got the Werfel Trophy, which is going to be handed out tomorrow. Very deserving. It's all about community service. And the young man who wins that is actually going to be invited to New York to take part in all of the Heisman festivities as well, which I know you're very proud of, Danny. I guess besides maybe the obvious, which is enjoy the moment, try to be present, what is other advice you would give to a Heisman Trophy winner? Maybe something a little bit deeper, something that you've now taken the last few years to reflect on.
Yeah. I think that I'll never forget what Jerry Spurrier told me, Coach Spurrier's wife, that night. She said, you really have no idea what this will mean for you till your life moves on. And of course, as a young kid, what does that mean? But it certainly has been, the experience of winning it is almost overwhelming. You've got 7,000 interviews. You go to all these, they say they're called receptions, but they're autograph and photo lines that just go on for hours. And so it's a very exhausting weekend, the weekend you win. Often what I tell them is, hey, man, you're going to enjoy this a lot more in the years to come. It's one of my wife and I's favorite trips every year. New York City is wonderful to be part of this fraternity. And the Heisman Trophy, it's a really bizarre thing. I don't know what you could compare it to, but very few things, I think, attach themselves to a person as much as this. Somebody could win a Nobel Peace Prize or something, a Pulitzer Prize, and still be introduced as the former Heisman Trophy winner. It's just such an iconic experience that sticks with you.
So, okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Dave. I don't know if you've been in these commercials, but you've certainly seen the Nissan Heisman House commercials. I know you've done some things with Nissan. You had to live with all the Heisman Trophy winners. You're all under one roof, just like the commercial. Who would you room with? And I'm going to immediately take off. It can't be a Gator. It can't be Tebow. It can't be Spurrier. You have to live with somebody from another school. Which Heisman winner are you bunking up with?
I mean, is this just like, hey, we're going to hang out for the weekend and we're going to have fun? Because then you got guys like Mike Brashear and others who are just super, or is this somebody I'm going to have to live with for like 6 months?
6 months bunk bed.
6 months bunk bed.
You keep ratcheting up the stakes here, Pearl.
That's a Heisman.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you three. Just like the Heisman vote, I get three votes.
There you go.
Go ahead.
I think my first choice would be Charlie Ward, one of the most kindest, soft-spoken, nicest guys you'll meet. And then Eric Crouch has become a good friend and just a really neat guy. And I had a really fun conversation with Jason White years ago and just seemed like a very down-to-earth guy from Oklahoma. So if I thought about it longer, I'd probably pick out a few more. But those are my top three.
I have one. I would want to live with Devontae Smith, and I'll tell you why. He's small. He doesn't take up a lot of room. He looks very neat, and I think that's something that I would want in a Heisman.
There you go.
You know, somebody, they would leave their clothes everywhere. I would go for neat. Maggie, do you got anyone you want to live with?
I was thinking, Kyler Murray likes to play video games, and I feel like I'm lacking that in my life. I need to catch up on the last 20 years of video games, and I think Kyler Murray would help me do that. I'm assuming I have time on my hands if I'm living in the Heisman house.
That's a good choice if you want to do video games. I'm not sure that probably the best goal for you at this point, but maybe so.
Yes, as I'm approaching 40, maybe this is not the time to pick up a video game habit. That's each their own. Want to ask you about Anthony Richardson. Perloff and I had a chance to interview him early on in the season. Obviously a bright guy who's got a bright future. He's decided he's going to the draft. He's not going to play in the bowl game. Now, some pundits have speculated, Danny, that that's a mistake, that he should go back to Florida for a little more seasoning. What do you think?
Well, here's where I've got sort of my head and my heart at odds a little bit. My heart, just as a Gator and knowing him and knowing the program, just really feel like it'd be special and good for him to come back. When I get into my head and I think about this a little bit, I think this comes down to where are the projections having him and how accurate are they? And, you know, if someone's telling you that you're going to be a first round draft pick and that you feel like it's reliable information, that's really hard to pass up. You know, he has had some struggles with injuries. And if he goes back, there is a chance he could get hurt in college and never get to experience that dream. So I think my head would push that direction with a slight caveat that, you know, I do think, you know, that the potential for him to develop as a quarterback, if he were to come back for another year, you know, he's just not going to get that opportunity to play that much in real situations against a competition in the college level where you can develop. It's really hard to develop as a backup player in the NFL. And if you're not ready, it's hard to not really stink as a starting player in the NFL, which doesn't help you develop either. So it makes sense to me why he did it. I do think he could have developed a little bit more, but I am also sad that he's leaving. I like him. He's a fine young man with a great leader, and we'll miss him at Florida.
Danny, how would you describe Anthony Richardson as a player to someone who hasn't seen him? What are his skills like?
Well, I think that's off the chart. I mean, he can run like a Mack truck. He can throw a beautiful ball, a real strong arm. He has tight release. He's a smart young man. I think he's young. And, you know, I think there are a lot of expectations were put on him prematurely a little bit. You know, the offense is a cool offense there, but it's not the easiest offense to learn and run as a quarterback. And so I think, you know, he got a little bit of a victim to too much expectations. And then I think, you know, he had a couple of really inconsistent games early, but he battled back. But I think the thing that stands out is the combination of his ability, his arm talent, and his leg talent. And he's a beast of a player.
Danny Werfel, I guess just a couple more for you, Danny, and appreciate you taking time. This is like probably your busiest time of year. You've got the Werfel Trophy, which of course is the premier trophy for college football in terms of community service, which I know is something that's really special and dear to your heart. You know, because of the COVID seasons, maybe this is a little different, but you have guys who have now played like Hendon Hooker, who's spending 5 years in college. Before that was usually just Perloff's good friend, Case Keenum, and guys like that. But you're going to have guys who are older because of the transfer portal, because of the ability maybe by NIL to stay in college a little bit longer. Do you think that should be a positive for them when they get to the pro level? Like, should general managers and presidents of football teams in the NFL say, hey, this guy's 25, that's actually a good thing? Or do you think we're still going to value youth over everything when it comes to the draft process?
Yeah, it is interesting that we could have some regular college players that are about as old as Chris Winkie by the time they get done with their college career. Never thought we'd say that. I think it's got to be a positive. I mean, every year at that point that you're maturing and growing and getting experience, and every rep you take in practice matters. Every rep you get in a game matters. And, you know, where in the past you might have a guy that starts one season or two, now you may have somebody that started three or four seasons and maybe even at two or three or four different offenses and different schools, different coaches. So I can't see that as a negative. I think that the more experience you get, and you know, especially as a quarterback, if you're thinking quarterback centric, every rep is so important.
Okay. As long as we're talking about older athletes, that's a perfect segue.
Oh dear.
Like you and me, Danny, pickleball is the sport. I've been telling Maggie, it turns out, you're pretty good.
Well, wait a minute. We've got some audio evidence. This is Danny Werfel, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, playing pickleball.
Look at Werfel fight it off.
Oh, and it's tagged Chuck Taylor for the win. Amazing work. Taylor, not too happy that that's the way it ends.
Werfel, you're a savage out there on the pickleball court. You're taking no prisoners. You're taking names. I'm not sure who Chuck Taylor is, but you're playing with a celebrity like Pro-Am with the guy who created Entourage. This is a new passion for you?
Well, there's several things. One, pickleball is an actually fantastic sport with a really weird name. It's one of the most amazing sports that anyone can play on an entry level, but is challenging enough to play at the highest levels. And I love it. I love playing it. And we were able to put together a celebrity pro-am pickleball where we have some of the best pickleball pros in the world. Yes, there are people that are devoted pros making a lot of money. And then celebrities that play. And we raised a lot of money for Desire Street and the Werfel Foundation. And so I'm really happy that pickleball exists. I love it. And look forward to playing a lot more.
Well, you could be in New York this weekend. You could just take a little ferry ride over to Brooklyn. We could meet Pier 2. Sun comes up, 7:30.
Yeah.
I just bring your paddles with you, Danny, to New York.
All right, my friend. Don't tempt me.
The Danny Werfel Trophy, the Werfel Trophy. I know you're so proud of this. It's taken some years. You now have the winner of this, the young man who is devoted to community service, things off the field, are going to be coming to New York to take part in the festivities. You have to be thrilled.
I am so proud. You know, it's sports is a great thing, but so often the individual athletes that get the attention, either they're the best player on the best team or they did something wrong. And so this is a way to shine the light on some amazing young men. We had 109 nominees. I mean, think about that, 109 Division I players that are doing great work, and we're trying to tell their stories. Our three finalists, Tanner Morgan from Minnesota, Dylan Gibbons from Florida State, and Patrick Fields, who was at Oklahoma and transferred to Stanford. Three amazing young men. They all three deserve to win this award. And we're really excited that whoever wins will be on display in a sense, and the visibility of them and what they've done will go to New York to be part of the Heisman. So we're thrilled, man. The world is pretty divided, as some of us know, and anything we can do to lead and encourage people to service and unity, that's what I'm about. And I'm really proud of the Werfel Trophy.
Danny, can't tell you how much we appreciate this. Enjoy the weekend because of the Werfel Trophy, because of the reunion with all of your Heisman brethren. I'm sure it's a lot of fun. And we'll catch up and talk to you soon. We didn't get Drew Brees, the scouting report on Drew Brees as a pickleball player is what.
Oh, yeah. If you go watch the whole video, we played him. But it may not be on there, though. Maybe we edited that part out for other reasons. Maggie, it's great visiting with you. Andrew, thanks. Keep up the good work.
Thanks so much, Danny. Appreciate that. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. Okay, so yesterday, Perloff's like, I got something for you guys. Yeah. It's going to be really fun. Yeah. I got a game I want to play. And there was so much stuff going on and so much news that we never got to it. Okay, and you can't wait to do this. We have no idea what it is, though. You won't tell us anything. You didn't want to tell TV. Like, we're all in the dark here about what you want to do, but you keep telling us how awesome it's going to be.
Yeah, so maybe that was an overstatement. I didn't want to tell you because...
Is this Laker part two?
This is a movie game. Okay. And if you had your radar out for these movies, you would have seen the commercials and known if it was a real Oscar contender or a movie title that I made up. Hit the music.
Wait a minute. Okay, so the game is this an actual Oscar movie or something you created out of thin air?
Yes. I looked up. I was passed a story from Variety Magazine, the top 50 Oscar contenders for best film.
Okay.
And I had never heard of any of them.
You know, you're right. I'm going into this totally blind.
I have no idea. I will go around the room to all of you. I'll go Maggie first, then Mike, then Stu.
Is Hustle not one of them?
It should be.
Excellent movie.
Okay. Let us begin with Maggie.
Okay.
The movie is called Babylon. It is a story of the rise and fall of multiple characters during Hollywood's transition from silent to sound films in the 1920s. Is this an Oscar contender or a made-up movie?
Oscar contender?
Bingo!
Yeah, I've never heard of it, but it sounds kind of good.
Doesn't that sound like Rochelle from Seinfeld?
Yes.
Okay, who's next? Samter.
Sure.
Okay. The Deep End of the Sea.
Let me hear the synopsis. This is going to be a big determiner.
A searing portrait of the Finnish immigrant community efforts to adapt to life in 1950s Great Britain. The Deep End of the Sea. Is that an Oscar contender or a movie that I just made up?
Finnish immigrants in the UK? Perloff, if this is made up, you are the most clever, hilarious person I've ever met. This has to be a real movie. You could not have made that up.
That is completely made up.
Finnish immigrants in the UK?
Wow.
All right. Stuart Kovacs.
Okay.
I know you're riding high. Aaron Judge re-signed with the Yankees. See if we can bring you down to earth. Okay. All right. The son, spelled S-O-N.
Okay.
A couple years after his parents' divorce, 17-year-old Nicholas no longer feels that he can stay with his mother, Kate, so he moves in with his father, Peter. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
That's all you get.
Sounds like a story one of my friends was telling me the other day. Okay. The sun.
Yeah, it feels kind of made up, so I'm going to say Perloff made it up.
You would be very wrong. It is a 2022 movie that could be nominated for an Oscar. Now, I don't understand why anyone would see this movie. It sounds like, hey, did you hear about Nicholas and Kate? They got divorced and they moved here. It stars Hugh Jackman, Laura Dern, and Anthony Hopkins. So it's got a pretty good cast. Okay. Maggie, you're up.
Wow. We get a second round?
Yes.
Lovely.
This movie is called All Rabbits Die. All Rabbits Die.
Oh, my gosh. I hope to God you didn't make that up, because we'd have to have a psychoanalysis on you.
All right. You want the synopsis?
Yeah, please.
The story of a terminal cancer patient who lives his final days with an Alaskan wolf pack. All Rabbits Die.
Oscar contender. That is so sad.
Made up movie.
Honestly, if you made that up, I'm concerned about you as a friend and a co-host. I think it's got to be real. You made that up.
All Rabbits Die.
Hold up, are you all right? Do you need
a
hug?
Talking about a wolf pack, and the title is All Rabbits Die while there's a cure for terminal cancer.
I gotta tell you,
what is happening?
I'm not reading you the real Oscar contenders, or 2,000 times more depressing. All right, we'll do one
the
more.
The deep
you.
End of the sea and All Rabbits Die are the fake ones you have.
Okay, let's do Samper, The Eternal Daughter. The Eternal Daughter.
Oh.
An artist and her mother confront long-buried secrets when they return to a former family home. The Eternal Daughter.
This sounds like you're reading like a horror story synopsis here. Eternal Daughter. I do know that this is starring Meryl Streep and Steve Carell. And the daughter is I don't know. I'm going to say real movie.
You are right. It's starring Tilda Swinton. You
Tilda
were pretty
Swinton,
darn
that's
close.
What I meant. That's who I meant, of course.
Eternal
so
Daughter.
Eternal Daughter.
Of the Spotless
okay.
Mind?
Yeah. Last one. Stu Kovacs.
Okay.
Empire of Light. Real movie or something Perloff made up. A romance develops in a beautiful old cinema on the south coast of England in the 1980s. Empire of Light.
Gonna say made up movie.
You would be wrong. That is Sam Mendes' latest movie. Okay, so I won't do anymore, but can I tell you some of the other movies?
All Rabbits Die is the only thing that I am going to take away from.
There's tears streaming down my face right now.
If you were to make up a fake name, Empire of Light sounds like a made-up Oscar movie from sci-fi.
Yes.
And it's an actual Oscar. The other ones, listen to these. There is the frontrunners are Women Talking, She Said, Amsterdam, Babylon, White Noise, The Woman King, Bardo, The Sun is up there. 13 Lives. They're all more depressing than
it. Is Argo the sequel of Argo?
I have no idea. What happened when we knew the Oscar movies? Where's Marvel movies?
They're not getting nominated for Oscars. Remember? Who said that they're not real actors? They're just... Didn't somebody dunk on like the Marvel actors saying they're not movie stars? Someone said that recently.
My favorite one
was Spielberg or something.
No, the reason I thought it was like Empire of Light cannot be a real movie about a romance.
Tarantino said it. Thank you.
Okay, the real frontrunners. The Fablemans is right now the Vegas favorite.
Okay, that's Spielberg.
We've seen that. They play that. Babylon is second. I told you what it was earlier, but I don't even remember.
Still don't remember. Sure.
Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is
I saw that.
It's about an immigrant community.
Yeah,
right?
It's about a mother daughter relationship. And it's really, but it told in a very insane way.
Women Talking.
Okay.
Tar, which actually people have said. She Said, The Woman King, The Banshees of Inisherin, which is Colin Farrell. That one actually is getting a lot of talk. Bardo. Has anyone figured out
what
Bardo
is? I think I've
realized
something.
And then Empire of Light.
If they are not advertising during a sporting event, I do not know what it is.
No,
if,
no, there's, no.
if you're not also... I don't have Susie Culber, tossing to the trailer of it on Monday Night Football halftime show after Boomer does 3 minutes. There's no chance I know what movies are.
Here's Bardo, and you'll love this description. A renowned Mexican journalist and documentary filmmaker returns home and works through an existential crisis as he grapples with his identity and familial relationships. That's the fake one that I did, everyone.
Wait, speaking of existential crisis, did you read the story about Andrew Luck?
No.
The recent story about Andrew Luck from Seth Wickersham yesterday. Yeah. It's interesting. So Luck sits down for like a variety of interviews and really kind of bares his soul about what happened. He's essentially was going through like a pretty massive identity crisis and could not see himself outside of being a quarterback. And it was really troubling to him. also his shoulder was massively hurt. But one nugget from the story about Andrew Luck, he kind of was always known as like the good guy, right? And I think he still is a good guy, but about how smart he is and everything. This is how much of a control freak that Andrew Luck ended up being as a quarterback. He said he would go to dinner with people and order for them. Can you imagine?
That's weird.
Have you ever sat at a table? That's different if someone's like, hey, I've been to this restaurant before. I know this menu inside and out. Let me order for the table. They have a couple specialties here. I'm not talking about that. He would say, Samter, you're getting the linguine with clams, and Stu, you're getting the lasagna, and Maggie, you're getting the, you know, veal parmesan, and Perloff's getting the gnocchis. Like, that's what he would do.
That is so odd.
Yeah, I have a friend who every Chinese restaurant we go to, granted, it's kind of family style, but he'll just order everything. It's like, well, I don't eat that. Like, I'm not interested in having
duck tongues.
Yeah, I don't want that. It's very frustrating, but it is much more weird to like have individual plates and to tell people what they're going to order.
Family style is maybe a little different, right? Like, again, if someone knows the menu well, you can be like, oh, let me just order for the
dinner. Yeah.
This is like, you're going to get a Diet Coke. It's like, but I don't drink soda.
At a family style, I'm happy to let people order.
For you?
Oh, yeah. If I'm at a restaurant that I don't know and someone else knows, please. Because I'll eat. I'm not super picky.
I do like that, but I also, sometimes I want to look at the menu and try something that I like. No.
Well, let me ask you this.
Am I the party pooper?
When it's a family style, you can't be the person who's be like, well, I'm going to order my own individual.
No, you can't do that.
Also, that's a bad one.
So this was something that my husband had to get used to when we first started dating. And if you go out to eat with my family, whether you're related to us or not, we all try each other's food. So you can't like defend your plate. Everyone has to give a bite to everybody. Yeah. At first he was like, wait, what? I'm like, yep, pass it over. What'd you get, the salmon? Yeah, I'll take a bite of that.
Yeah,
and I'll give you a bite back.
That would be trouble because like when I order a dish, I always have envy of whatever everyone else orders, but I know they have envy about my order too, and I refuse to share off of my plate unless it's like an intimate relationship, like boyfriend, husband, fine, but nobody else is eating off of my plate. I had a friend who almost stabbed me in the hand with a fork one time.
You need new friends.
Well, after high school, of course, I don't really have many from the yo-yo tricks.
Yeah, I know. Your dad put the kibosh on it for you. Thanks, Dad. Let's go to Rich. He's in Chicago. Rich, only left you about 30 seconds, bud, but what's on your mind?
Real fast. Yeah. I got a couple of pearls for you and Perloff. I was digging through the data to try to see what is a direct correlation. This one's for Perloff. I looked at the number of SEC players by roster. They already have a third of the NFL because Perloff is right. But all of these successful teams have 19 or more. And the bottom feeders are the Bears and the Colts with 9. So I don't know who they're drafting. But obviously there's a direct correlation of talent transferring to the NFL roster. And then the last thing for you guys, and this is for you, Maggie.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter point production versus the defensive point production of holding teams. The top five teams are all the top five teams. And the worst teams, the worst teams in fourth quarter are the Bears, Denver, and Baltimore Ravens. So you should factor that in when you want to make a play.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that, Rich. You've always been spot on with your advice. Thanks for giving it to us.
Yeah, you know, it's the thing about with that all sounds really relevant and true, but I get in my head and then I overthink myself.
Yeah, and then before you know it, you're laying 8.5 with the Ravens, just like, why did I do this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember last week we tried to talk you off the ledge with that Ravens pick? And I actually tweeted you right before the game. I'm like, yeah, as long as Lamar Jackson's not hurt, they're going to cover easily.
Yes, I said,
and I think that's why he got hurt. I think that's why he got hurt. I should never have said that.
It was a big kibosh. Thank you, Rich, for that. That is interesting about the rosters and how many SEC players they have on it. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up in the next hour, David Sampson, former Marlins president, will weigh in on the Aaron Judge contract and Baker.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.